Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. I do want to say good morning once again. And as we gather this morning to open God's Word, I would ask that you would turn with me to John's Gospel, John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. We're going to resume our study and our look at John's Gospel. Last time we were in the book of John, we looked at Jesus cleansing the temple. This morning, we're going to take a look, or begin taking a look rather, at Nicodemus. I know many of you remember the story of Nicodemus. Well, we're going to take, I believe it will break down to about a 3-message series on Nicodemus and what transpires in his life as a result of what he witnessed when Jesus cleansed the temple. We often don't think about that. But Nicodemus saw Jesus cleanse and clean out the temple. He saw that. He heard the words that Jesus spoke while all of that was going on and taking place. Now Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, met with the group of Pharisees there, and they were all wondering about this man, Jesus. What gave him the authority to do what he done? What gave Jesus the authority to step up and take control of the temple the way he did and get their attention? Who is this man, Jesus? Well, what we will see as we look at Nicodemus, we will see an unfolding of a man that is subject to deception. A man that has been pulled into deception. And we will look at victory over life's spiritual deceptions. This morning, I want to preach to you a message titled, The Tragedy of Religion. The Tragedy of Religion. So, John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? May God add blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Now, I believe I can safely say this morning, each one of us have experienced tragedy in our life. You may be thinking, well, what does he mean by tragedy? Well, when we think of the definition of tragedy, the dictionary tells us that it is an event causing great suffering, destruction, and distress, such as a serious accident, crime, or a natural catastrophe. Now, those are a generalization, but probably every one of us has experienced tragedy in our life. For one, it may be something as simple as the breaking of a nail. For another, it may be the death of a loved one. But tragedy looks different to each one of us at different times and different days in our life. The cold temperatures we just had this week caused my mom's water to freeze. To her, that could have been a tragedy. It wasn't, but it could have been. To someone else, it could have been. Others lost power in their homes. That could have been a tragedy to some. Tragedy looks different in all of our lives at different points and times. Now, I want to shift this introduction to a word that is getting thrown around kind of haphazardly today. And it's getting thrown around without any real discussion or explanation. And it leaves you open to define it as you want. And that's what makes it so dangerous. That word is religion. By definition, religion is a superhuman controlling power. Pretty broad, isn't it? A superhuman controlling power. Now, with evangelical Christians like you and I today, we see that as being God Jehovah. With the Muslims, they see it being Allah. For the sake of that comparison, they're not the same. I don't care what the media tells you, they're not the same. It may be Muhammad, it may be Buddha, it may be rocks or stones, it may be some amulet, it may be a tree, it may even be Satan himself. So religion is very broad when we examine that definition of a superhuman controlling power. Now, the words tragedy and religion are two words that are linked in a very real way. Religion is something that can either develop you or it can destroy you. Today, we're looking at Nicodemus. Nicodemus, we see by the text that we read in our Bible, was a very religious man. He was a model Jew. Nicodemus was a model Pharisee. Nicodemus knew all the right words. He knew all of the songs they sung. He had the Torah memorized. He served through the synagogue and the temple. He gave the right tithe at the right time. Nicodemus done it all, and it all satisfied the status quo. Someone would look at Nicodemus, and they would say, there is a model person. That is a model Jew. He is a model person. He is someone that you want your children to grow up and follow suit. Nicodemus was religious. Jesus not only answered his questions, but Jesus presented Nicodemus with a reality check. Religion is not the same as redemption. Religion is not the same as redemption. That holds true in the 21st century, just as well as it held true in the first century. So look with me this morning as we learn Jesus' teaching on the tragedy of religion. I spoke earlier of spiritual deception. Do you realize the deception of belief can lead to tragedy? The deception of belief. Why do you believe what you believe this morning? Why do you believe what you believe about the Bible? Why do you believe what you believe about God, about Jesus? Why do you believe what you believe? It is a fair question. It is a question that used to be asked quite often in churches, in Baptist churches especially, because it makes a difference. There are a lot of similarities today between Christians and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader and a religious man. He knew only what he had been taught by others. Nicodemus was a very knowledgeable person. Nicodemus was a very well-educated person. Nicodemus had a lot of answers for a lot of the questions that were popular in that day. But Nicodemus had the answers that were given to him, were taught to him by others. How many of us today only know what we've been told by others, and we've never fact-checked it? We hear a lot about fact-checking today. We hear a lot about fact-checking what this one says or that one says, especially in political circles. Why aren't preachers and pastors fact-checked? It's biblical. Go on into the letters and the writings of Paul and you read of a group of people called the Bereans. The Bereans were people that Paul preached to. Paul gave to them and brought them the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of salvation by faith through grace. And the Bereans told Paul, come back and see us tomorrow. I'm paraphrasing it. But he told Paul, he said, come back and see us tomorrow. Give us time to fact check it. Give us time to look it up and filter it through God's Word. You see, there's a lot of things that have been taught in churches by well-intending people that are opinion, that are ideas, that are thoughts, that are personal beliefs. Would it shock you this morning for me to tell you that there have been a lot of superstition preached out of pulpits? A lot of superstition? Why do you believe what you believe? It would do us good this morning to start fact checking. And I encourage you, fact check me. I study and I pray and I work very hard to put together a biblical message for every time I take the pulpit. But I want to be right in God's Word. I want to be fact checked. I don't want you to believe me just because I say it. Just so you can go and say, well, my preacher said, or the pastor said this. You see, Nicodemus came to Jesus with his suggestion about who Jesus was. What do you bring to Jesus as well? You're going to bring to Jesus exactly what you believe about Jesus. And where that thought comes from and where that answer comes from is up to you. Does it come from your knowledge of the Word of God? Does it come from your experience of having been to the altar and having your heart cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ? Or is it just rhetoric? Is it just words? What did Nicodemus say about Jesus? In verse number 2, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Nicodemus didn't say, we know you're the Messiah. Nicodemus didn't say, we know you're the Son of God. Nicodemus didn't say that you'd came to save us of our sin. Nicodemus said, you're a teacher. He brought his suggestion to Jesus about who he was to him instead of bringing submission to Jesus. When religion and what we believe leads us to bring to Jesus what we want to believe about him, and we ask him to bless what we think and bless what we believe and bless our opinions and bless our thoughts, and we're not submitting to him and who he says, we are falling into the deception of the tragedy of the belief of religion. We're being deceived. Deception is a very subtle thing in our lives. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Eve was deceived into taking the forbidden fruit. And it was very subtle. Cain slew Abel over offerings that were brought. Abel brought an offering out of submission. Cain brought an offering out of suggestion. The subtle differences between the two led to murder. That's just how subtle deception can be in our lives today. That's how subtle it can be in our belief of Jesus and the Word of God. Why do we believe what we believe, and what are we bringing from that belief? Are we bringing suggestions to God and asking Him to bless what we think about Him? Are we bringing superstition to God and asking Him to bless what we think about Him? Or are we bringing submission to Him through Jesus Christ? Nicodemus was a good man. I have no doubt about that. Nicodemus was a well-intentioned man. I have no doubt about that. I believe there are many today that are sitting in churches all across the world that are good people, that are well-intended people, that have only the best desires to serve the Lord, but they're the wrong desires because they're bringing their personal opinions, their suggestions, and their ideas about who Jesus is, and they're asking Him to bless them. And Jesus is looking for submission. He's looking for us to come to Him, and He is looking for us to ask Him the question, who are You, Lord Jesus, and what can I do to serve You? Well, not only is there a deception of belief, but there is a deception of blindness we find in verses 3 through 8. You see, Nicodemus cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus don't mix words. Look in verse 3. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was knowledgeable. Nicodemus was kind. Nicodemus was a good person, but Nicodemus was blind. He was blind spiritually. Jesus told him, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, we think about that as being physically present in the kingdom of heaven, to be standing before God and seeing the throne And there is a literal application there that says that's true. But there is an application here that speaks of our spiritual relationship to Jesus Christ. We can't realize the kingdom of heaven. We can't see the kingdom of heaven around us. We can't see our presence in the kingdom of heaven spiritually unless we're born again. We can be religious, but we can't be redeemed. And unless we're redeemed, we can't be part of the church. The universal church. The body of Christ. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's the body of Christ. It is the redeemed of all the ages. The redeemed standing in front of the throne of God, giving praises, lifting Him up, glorifying Him. It is the redeemed shouting praises and singing hosannas to Jesus in the churches all across the world every Lord's Day. It is the kingdom of heaven present in our lives daily. And we can't see it without being born again. We live in a day today that I call a raise your hand Christianity. Pick and choose. Today, do you want to be a Christian? If you do, raise your hand. Tomorrow, if you want to be a Muslim, raise your hand. If you want to be a Catholic, raise your hand. If you want to be, fill in the blank, raise your hand. That's not what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, be born again. It is a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It is a relationship that we have that was bought and paid for by Him on Calvary's cross. It is a relationship that is permanent. It is a relationship that only comes through belief, through acceptance. It is one that is given to all, to everyone, and made available to everyone. All we have to do is submit. Well, we also see in verses 3 through 8 the amazement of salvation. Marvel not, Jesus said. Marvel not that I said ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wants to. You hear it, but you can't tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can see the evidence of it. You can stand in the presence of it. But you don't really know where it came from, and you don't really know where it's going. You just know you're in the midst of it. Earlier in the week, when we had the high winds, when we had the strong winds that were blowing, you could go outside and stand in the midst of it, and you could feel the wind moving and blowing across you, and the cold and the chill that would come from it. And you might look at a flag or something and see that it's coming out of the northwest, and you would know then by nature it was going to the southeast if it was in a straight line. But in reality, you couldn't see the wind. You could see the effect of it. The effect of it moving the flag, showing you a direction. You didn't know where it came from, and you certainly didn't know where it was going. But you knew you were in the midst of it. That is Jesus' description of the presence of God in a person's life. Why the amazement of salvation? Why? Because we are always looking for the beginning and the end. We think logically. We think logically. If we're in the middle of something, there's a beginning and there's an end, and we have to find the beginning, we have to go from point A to point B. We look for a logical conclusion to something. We live in a day and an age where we're looking for the logical conclusion of salvation. We want to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And what has happened because of that? We have concluded in our lives that to logically put together salvation, well, the bad people must go to hell and the good people must go to heaven. That's what we have concluded in our lives logically. But that's not salvation. Salvation says there's none righteous, no, not one, and we all deserve nothing but hell, but eternal suffering and damnation. Salvation says, but because of Jesus and because of the Son of God and the innocence of the Son of God and the sinlessness of the Son of God and the mercy and grace that comes with the Son of God, we have accessibility to redemption through Jesus Christ, through salvation. Why the amazement? Why was Nicodemus so amazed at the idea of being born again? Because he was logical. He was trying to put a logical ideology to it, trying to find the beginning and the end of it, instead of just believing. Instead of just stepping out on faith and taking Jesus at His Word. We need today to take Jesus at His Word more so than at any time in history. The church needs to get away from logic. The church needs to get away from all of this trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together and bless God. Just take the puzzle at what it is, and it's Jesus. And take Him and keep Him at His Word. And let Him bless our hearts and save our souls and follow Him in faith. The deception of blindness can lead to a tragedy in our lives. Blindness of refusing to follow Jesus and take Jesus at His Word can lead us down a road of everlasting separation and eternal punishment called hell. Well, lastly, this morning in verses 9 and 10, I want you to see the deception of bewilderment. Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be?" I don't know if you have ever talked with anyone about Jesus, if you've ever talked to anyone about salvation, but if you have, you have surely had someone look at you and say, "I just don't understand. How? How can this be?" That was what Nicodemus said. That was how he felt. Here he had spent his whole life being and learning to be the perfect Jew. He knew how to dot every I, how to cross every T, as the Bible would say, every jot and every tittle. He knew everything about being the textbook Jew. And here Jesus said, "Why are you so amazed when I tell you you must be born again?" And he says, "I just don't understand. How can God be this way? How can God not accept a good person? How can God not accept someone who gives of their money and gives of their time and gives of everything that they have to do good work for people? How can God turn away that person? How can God turn away the person who is living a moral life? Who is living a life that never steps out of the boundaries? Who is always there for their spouse and for their children, for their parents? How can God turn away that person?" People today ask that very same thing. It goes back to the idea of the good go to heaven and the bad go to hell. We have blindly adopted that as a logical conclusion. when the Bible and the Word of God says absolutely nothing to that effect? That doesn't mean we have a license to go out and live any way we want to live. No, it means that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, we will do those things not because we want to earn heaven, but we will do those things because we have been given access to heaven. We will do them to glorify God, not to glorify us. We will do them to glorify Jesus Christ and glorify what Jesus Christ has done in our heart and in our life. The bewilderment that too many of us suffer from today regarding Christianity and regarding salvation is a bewilderment of our own making. Nicodemus felt like he had it all figured out. There are a lot of people today that feel like they have it all figured out. There are a lot of folks today, hey, these half-baked preachers that are preaching this salvation by faith through the blood, they don't know what they're talking about. I got it all figured out. That's why churches today more and more are going away from preaching salvation by the blood because, well, it's just offensive. It just offends people. No, it doesn't. It lifts people up because it is real. It is Jesus Christ coming into the hearts and the lives of people and forgiving their sin, washing away their sin, writing their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it logical? No. It isn't. But it's real. It is real. Those today who feel like they have it all figured out are living a life of bewilderment and blindness that is resulting in a belief that's taking them far away from God and will ultimately lead them into hell. The Lord didn't bring confusion when He came. The Lord didn't bring confusion to Nicodemus. The Lord brought correction. Nicodemus came to see Jesus because he was confused. It would do a lot of us good today if we would find an altar, a place to get alone with God when we are confused about things that we don't understand in His Word or in this world of mess and chaos that we live in. And if we would just take the time to come to God and meet with Him and ask Him to clear up the confusion. Just take our time and open our Bible and say, God, clear it up. Clear it up. Get rid of the bewilderment. I don't want to go through life with any blindness. I want to have the right belief. There was a time when the church would do that. And I think there's a day coming when the true church will come back to that once again. Because it will be all that we have left. If the world has their way, they're going to close the buildings. If the world has their way, they're going to silence the music. If the world has their way, they're going to shut down everything that we know about worship. And it's going to come back to us and Jesus and His Word. It will come back to us getting alone with God and crying out to Him, clear up the confusion. We see a lot of things going on today with religion, and one of them teaches that religion is a means of peace or war, one of the two. Recently, it was stated by our president when he was trying to defend what went on with the beheading of the 21 Christians in Egypt. Well, I remember back when Christians had some atrocities of their own with the Crusades. justify this because of this, and do it in the name of religion. And it makes it all equal. No, it doesn't. Religion is not a means of peace or war. Religion is a means of confusion. Redemption is a means of peace in our heart. Redemption is our following of Jesus Christ and our submitting to Him and our worshiping of Him, regardless of what any political figurehead may say, regardless of what the Supreme Court may say, regardless of what the Congress may say, regardless of what they may say with ISIS over in the Middle East, regardless of what the Muslims might have to say in Saudi Arabia, regardless of what Mecca might have to say, regardless about what the Pope might have to say. It has nothing to do with any of them. It has nothing to do with any figurehead of any religion in America. It comes back to Jesus Christ. What does Jesus have to say? He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Must be. How is religion and redemption playing out in your life this morning? What are you living today? Are you living religion or are you living redemption? Are you living a life that looks like Nicodemus before he met Jesus? Or are you living a life that looks like Nicodemus after he met Jesus? I don't know the answer to that. You and the Lord do. I want to ask our musicians to come and prepare a hymn of invitation this morning. And as they come, I want you to think about Nicodemus. This good, decent, honest, moral man that had everything going for him, was well respected in the community, was well respected in the temple, was considered a very astute teacher of the Word of God, of the Torah. But yet Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Even to him, "Ye must be born again." So as we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart and where you stand with Him and where you stand with Jesus this morning, whether it is salvation you need or whether it is just time to sit with God and say, "Clear up the confusion," will you come and will you follow the Word of God and the will of God in your life? As we sing, will you come?